And I saw a practice that he had. He had a practice of taking a prayer card, and the prayer card said something like, pray, when this reaches you, pray for your pastor, pray that his words will not be his, but God's, pray that this, and I got a list of things. And what he would do before every sermon is he would give it to the first person in the front row and tell him to pass it back, and any time that card came to you, you need to start praying in the middle of the sermon for that pastor. Well, I don't got a card this morning, but I'm going to ask for your prayers because I'm going to be preaching about the health message, and I'm not feeling too healthy this morning. And so that is a little worrisome, but I'm going to go right through. If I cough or make some unexpected noises, please excuse me. But I am happy to be here with you this morning. It's been a busy but great week. Sunday, we began with training for all the officers, deacons, and teachers and ushers and greeters. It was a wonderful day of training on Sunday. Then during this whole week, we've been having Bible boot camp. We've been having students from the university, Adventist students, and also missionaries train how to reach people this past week. Then on Friday night, last night, we had a time of VBS. So, excuse me, it's been a great time. Next month, we are changing our theme from health to Jesus. I've been thinking about what to preach on when when the students come, and I thought, what better thing than to preach about Jesus for one whole month, just about his character and about him. So I'm excited about next month, but today we're finishing our health message, and last week we laid the biblical foundation of God has always cared about the health of his people. And we went through the Bible and we studied how that is important to God, so it should be important to us. Now this week, I'm going to present to you how God gave the health message to a people who needed it in a time of unhealthiness so they could spread the message to the world. We're going to be talking about how God gave the Seventh-day Adventist Church the message. And I'm going to be focusing a lot on the life of Mrs. White, who received that health message. So if you're kind of lost this morning, maybe it's your first time, you're like, I wasn't here for part one, part two, you're going to catch on as we go, don't worry. And I'm sure that you're going to find some beneficial things for you along the way. Don't you just love a faithful elder? Thank you so much. You heard those prayers you were praying for me. So today we're going to start our Adventist health message, healthy by choice, not by chance. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak on your message of healing for our time. And I pray, Father, that we would take it to heart because you want us to be holistically health, body, mind, and spirit. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the 1800s, when Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis, I have a hard time saying that name, who was born in Budapest, Hungary, and went to school in Vienna, Austria. He was stationed at Vienna General Hospital, and as he was there, he noticed that in the maternity ward, the death rate was 1 out of 6 women. 1 out of 6 women who gave birth died in the maternity ward. Isn't that a terrible number? I mean, imagine having to take your wife to the hospital and having those kind of chances to come out alive. But he also noticed that early in the morning, when the doctors would arrive to the hospital, the very first thing they would do is go to do the autopsies. They would go to all the dead bodies with their dead rotting corpses with diseases and tuberculosis and cancers and bacterias and viruses, and they would put their hands in there, not with gloves, probably just bare hands, many of them, and they would touch them, they would examine them, they would cut them open, and then after the autopsies, who are the first patients they would go see? The poor mothers who are about to give birth. And they would examine them with the same hands that they did the autopsies with. And so this man noticed all this, And he noticed and came to the conclusion that women who were examined were more likely to die. And he decided to try hand washing between patients. And guess what happened? The death rate dropped. And he went with great excitement. And he told all his coworkers about his great discovery that maybe could save thousands of lives. And they looked at him, laughed at him, and fired him for his ridiculous theory that he was advocating of washing hands. So he left Vienna and went back to his hometown of Budapest. And in Budapest, he started also doing the same kind of observations, and he carefully documented his work in a book, but the medical field was not ready for all this bothersome washings, and he again was ridiculed and removed from his position at the hospital. For the second time, he was let go. What was the end of this poor man? In the book, The Prophets, page 34, 35, it says, he died in a mental institution with the memory of all the unnecessary deaths of those mothers weighing heavily on his mind. How many lives could have been saved? The book Prophets of Destiny says, medicine as a profession was so chaotic in the 1800s and the supportive medical knowledge so primitive that epidemic after epidemic continuously killed off many of those who somehow managed to outlast the doctor's care. What were some common practices in the 1800s? Well, calomel. I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up and ended up being mercury chloride. Mercury poisoning for everybody if you're sick. I also found that they gave prussic acid. I didn't know what that was either, so I went and I looked it up, and they gave cyanide. I think that that's what they used in some wars as well, toxic to people. They use opium, and if you had a lung infection, for example, right now I'm dealing with some lung issues, if I would have gone to a doctor back then, he would have pulled out a fat cigar and said, finish this cigar and you'll feel much better. It'll cure your lung infection that you have. So there were some very terrible practices in those days. They were smothered to death in disease-ridden rooms. In fact, they believed that diseases came, well, they didn't really know, so they had some theories. But they thought that if you were close to a garbage and the dirty smell of the garbage, if you inhaled that, that's how you inhaled the disease that you got. So what they would do is they would close off their homes when someone was sick, because they didn't want them to get more disease. They closed the windows, no circulation of air. You know, everything was dark and the shades were drawn. Windows were shut tight. They were covered by the same germ-infested blankets. In fact, when someone would die of a disease, they would just transfer the same blankets to their family members. And so people were bled, people were poisoned, and people did not know what the cause of disease was. In fact, many people, especially Christians, attributed most death and disease to God. They said that's just the providence of God, and the only way for someone to be healed was through prayer. And God did answer many prayers, but as time went on, people became enlightened that maybe it wasn't God who was causing all this death and disease. A man by the name of Horace Mann gave a presentation to educators, and he said, suffering was no part of the ordination of a merciful providence, but proved directly chargeable to human ignorance and error. Further, if people would obey the physical laws of God, they would no more suffer pain than they would suffer remorse or moral pain if in all things they would obey the moral laws of God. So they switched it, but changing the source of disease from heaven to earth did not automatically explain the cause of the disease. And so people still had trouble knowing what was causing disease, but the worst disease of that time was just ignorance. Ignorance of the most widespread disease of all. In fact, we find a conversation that happened in the 1800s between a mother and a friend. Listen to the words that they say to each other. It says, You have lost your baby, a friend asks a mother. And the mother says, yes, he was only 5 months old. We did all we could for him. We had 4 doctors. We blistered his head and his feet. We put mustard poultices all over him. We gave him 9 calomel powders. We leached his temples. We had him bled. We gave him all kinds of medicine. And yet, after a week's illness, he died. He died. Ignorance was at the utmost in medicine at that time. As the 19th century dawned, Americans lived a very unhealthful lifestyle with little concept of hygiene and even worse, diet. They bathed little, ate large amounts of meat and fat, and few fruits and vegetables. The practice of medicine at that time was of little help in dealing with the resulting health problems. The existence of germs was not demonstrated until Pasteur did so in mid-19th century. Dr. Holmes, a professor of anatomy at Harvard University in the year 1860, said, if the whole of materia medica, as now used, could be sunk to the bottom of the sea, it would be all the better for mankind and all the worse for the fishes. He didn't think very much of his fellow practitioners. Early Adventists were as physically afflicted as contemporaries. A survey of the SDA obituary in the 1860s showed that 26.5% died before the age of 8. 22.5% died between the ages of 10 and 29, and almost half died before the age of 30. Imagine that. I'd probably be having a funeral every week if the percentages were the same today. And so during this time, the Adventist church was forming doctrinally. They were learning about the sanctuary in heaven. They were learning about the Sabbath. They were learning about the state of the dead. They were learning about the investigative judgment. And during that time of doctrinal unity, it was not the time for God to give the message of health. Because imagine someone who has accepted the Sabbath message, and during a time when people work 6 days a week, they had enough trouble trying to keep the Sabbath. Now on top of that, you bring all these health message requirements. It would be too much for the people. So following the principle of Jesus in John chapter 16, verse 12, where he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Our health message was not given at the very beginning. It was not given all at once, but it was given progressively when the church was ready to receive it. And in 1863, the church teetered on the brink of disaster from the poor health habits of its leading ministers. Health reform was a crucial necessity at this time. And when the church needed it, and when doctrinal unity had happened and organizational unity had happened, God gave a message to his church, as God has always given a health message to his people when they need it, because God cares about our health. So in June 5, 1863, there was a couple of evangelists by the name of R.J. Lawrence and M.E. Cornell having a tent meetings in Otsego, Michigan. How many of you have been to Otsego, Michigan before? Okay, some of you, the church, Seventh-day Adventist Church there just had an anniversary. I think it was like 120-something years of existence. My good friend is pastoring that church. Ellen and James hitched the buggy. They went about 30 miles from Battle Creek to Otsego for the weekend meetings. They stayed with the Aaron Hillard family, and 35-year-old Ellen during this time had a 45-minute vision from the Lord. And she received a health message. And when she came out of that vision, one of the things she said about that vision was, I saw that we should not be silent upon the subject of health, but should wake up minds to the subject. The work God requires of us will not shut us away from caring for our health. The more perfect our health, the more perfect will be our labor. And so we received a precious message that was progressive. In fact, it wasn't all at once. She received many messages. So the first one began even earlier in 1848. She received the first vision that tobacco, especially in tea and coffee, were not good for the health. In fact, tobacco was one that she really said was a poison. That was given in the year 1848. Friends, when did the general public finally know that tobacco and cigarettes were bad for your health? 19 what? 1964, where the report came out of the link between cigarettes and cancer. And so how many years in advance was the knowledge she was given? How many years? Roughly. You don't have to give me an exact number here. 100-something years. Her second vision, 1851, was about cleanliness. Cleanliness of your body, cleanliness of your clothes, and cleanliness of your surroundings, your room. She also spoke about avoiding fatty foods and foods should be eaten that are free of grease. Until how recently did we discover that fat in saturated fats and fatty foods are bad for you? It was pretty recent, right? Not that long ago. How advanced was she? 1851. Her third vision, the one we spoke of, was a comprehensive health vision in 1863. 1864, she wrote Spiritual Gifts. 1865, she wrote How to Live. And she was given a vision that we are to have health institutions around the world. I'm grateful for that. I graduated from one of them. And in 1871, she was given a fifth vision to fit a people for the coming of the Lord. She wrote, "Smoking, it is a slow poison." And we discovered the World Health Organization now considers smoking the most significant of all lifestyle principles affecting health. Now, if you look at the timeline, we find that during those days, she was well in advance of modern discoveries in medicine. In 1616, William Harvey discovered circulation of blood. In 1851, she had the vision on cleanliness. In 1860, Louis Pasteur identified microorganisms, but he did not associate them with disease yet. He just discovered them. And 1863, she had her main vision on health. 1865, Joseph Lister found that bacteria caused wound infections and produced the first antiseptic. And it wasn't until 1876 that Robert Koch proved bacteria causes disease. But all the way back in 1851, she wrote that cleanliness, strict habits of cleanliness should be observed. Even though she was well in advance of these discoveries, she was shown the importance of cleanliness to prevent bacteria and microorganisms from infecting you with disease. Do you think this would have benefited the people of that time? It greatly did. So before bacteria was known and understood, before it was identified, she knew it through the visions given to her. Also, she wrote about fatty foods. And we now know that fatty foods lead to heart disease and cancers such as colon cancer and breast cancer, and also contributes to diabetes. Some of the general things that she saw in vision was that Christians should not be using drugs, illicit drugs, that smoking was poisonous, that Christians should not be drinking alcohol. She saw the dangers of animal fats and meat, and especially the dangers of eating pig feet, pig meat. People do eat pig feet, though. And tea and coffee's dangers, too much spices in your food when it affects your digestive system, leaven in the bread, overeating, idleness, hypnotism was practiced in that day, and building your house on a wet site. She said that daily and freely we should have ventilation, clean environment, sanitation, clean person, clean house, clean clothes, sunlight, recreation, exercise, simple foods, vegetable foods, whole wheat flour, a variety of food, two meals a day for some, clean water, plenty of water, cheerfulness, willpower, and trust in God. When the church received the message, remember how many people were dying, the percentages? They took that message to heart. They took the visions she receives and they spread them far and wide. But it was the church first that received them and applied them to their life. And there was immediate an effect on the church as a whole. In 1958, they did an Adventist health study. And they found that Adventist men live 7.3 years longer than the average non-Adventist man. But vegetarian Adventist men live 9.5 years longer than the average American man, and 6.1 years for women. They found that Adventists had a lower risk for cancer, prostate cancer specifically, fatal heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, and arthritis. How many of you know someone who suffers from these things? And so we have, we have heart disease rate in we have heart disease rate in Adventists who eat meat, lacto-ovo, clean meats, lacto-ovo Adventist, and completely vegan Adventists have 86% less heart disease than the average American. The earlier Adventist health studies were first to discover many links between diet and health. When they studied Adventists, they found a couple of things that were important for the whole world. They found their fruits and vegetables reduce cancer risk. They discovered that nuts reduce the risk of heart disease. How many of you eat nuts on a daily basis? They discover that beans reduce colon cancer risk. How many of you have eaten beans this week? How many of you have eaten black beans? Lentils, my two favorite. By the way, colon cancer is, I think, the one or two leading cause of cancers in the United States. So this is important. That's why at potluck we serve beans, okay? My wife made beans today. Tomatoes reduce prostate cancer risk. Prostate cancer is one of the most treatable cancers for men, and also I think number one or two for men. Meat increases the risk of colon cancer and heart disease in men. I think two or three years ago, the World Health Organization finally came out with its seminal statement that all meats predispose to cancer. And it just confirmed what the church knew 120 years ago. We were also the first to discover through studying Adventist health lifestyle that 5+ glasses of water a day lowers heart disease risk. Thank you so much, Gary. Yeah. Lower my heart disease risk right now. So why did God give the health message anyway? Why did he give it to the church? That the SDAs might live longer and that they might enjoy the years that they do have. God wanted them to live longer. He loves his people, but he also wants them to enjoy the years they have. You know, in modern medicine today, we have gained the ability to have people live a long time. We have them live on all sorts of medication, respirators, all sorts of things. But what we want is not only long life, we want quality life as well. Because there's a difference of someone who's 70, who's laying in a bed 20 hours a day, has to be helped to sit up and taken to somewhere where someone feeds them. And there's a difference between the 70-year-old man that I saw at Loma Linda University doing marathons and running circles around me. You see, it's not only about a long life message, but it's a quality life message. And also the message was given so Seventh-day Adventists might render service to God longer and more efficiently. It was given that Seventh-day Adventists might be a good advertisement for this remnant church. Do you know that in the Middle East, I've heard testimonies of Seventh-day Adventist missionaries that go to the Middle East, and the Muslims will tell them, you guys are not Christians. And the missionaries will say, why do you think we're not Christians? They say, well, you don't eat pork. You pray a lot, and you take care of your health. You're not Christians. You're actually Muslims. That's what they say. So it opens up the door to do ministry to a lot of people, right? And even for Jewish people, we also eat, if you eat meat, it's only clean meats, and so we have a connection with it. In fact, our health message opens us up to the Abrahamic faith. We are the one church that has the best access to those faiths because of our health practices. And even in Buddhism and Hinduism, diet is very important to them, and we have a lot of connections with them in that area. So it has helped us. That Seventh-day Adventists might help non-Seventh-day Adventists find the benefits and blessings of good health. It's not only for the purpose of sharing and witnessing to them. Sometimes it's just for the benefit of alleviating people who are hurting and who are sick. It's just to spread the good news of health. And I know I've seen that when I worked in Guam Seventh-day Adventist Clinic in a little island. People would come in hurting, and they would be crying because the doctor told them they'd have to amputate their legs because their diabetes was out of control, and now they had to do that before infection spread. And I saw those people come to our health programs, and we do a change of eating habits, a change of drinking habits, a change of smoking habits. We get rid of that. We get rid of this, get them exercising, eating good. And I remember seeing amazing miracles. In fact, people tell us that the diabetes is not reversible. I've seen Seventh-day Adventist doctors take people off all their medication and no longer have any signs of any diabetes. I've seen people who are already in renal failure getting dialysis 3 days a week, get off of dialysis and be able to function just because the health message was given to them. And so we're not here just to say, come into the church, get the health message. We're here to alleviate any hurting and share the good news that we have received as well. And also so that our thinking may be clear, and so we can have better understanding of truth, and that we might attain greater spiritual growth and development. One of the most graphic statements that galvanized millions by Ellen White was, pure air, sunlight, temperance, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power, these are the true remedies. We made an acronym for this, and we started a health program called New Start. The N is for nutrition, E for exercise, W for water, S for sunshine, T for temperance or self-control, A for air, R for rest, and T for trust in God. We put people through this New Start program, and we've seen miracles. We've seen changes. God is so good if you use the simple things he has given us to use. So for Ellen White, the two basic principles in health reform are to preserve the best health and to eat food which is most what? The most nourishing. In applying these principles, she said on many occasions, in countries where there are fruits, grains, nuts in abundance, flesh food is not the right food for God's people. She was always so balanced, wasn't she? And so the balance is where, in countries where there are fruits, grains, and nuts in abundance. I think that's this country. Would you agree? There's a lot of abundance. There's a lot of stores that have these. But in other places, they are not available, and people sometimes have to partake of some flesh food, like fish. I remember that I was working as going and traveling and visiting missionaries in different remote islands in Micronesia, and I ran into a missionary who told me that he was in one of the furthest remote islands, and that every 6 months, a boat would come by with food supplies. Every 6 months, 1 year, the boat broke down. The boat broke down, and the boat didn't come for one whole year. And they had to survive on what they had, but they ran out. When they ran out, then they started climbing the palm trees and getting all the coconuts. All the coconuts ran out. All the food on the island ran out, and they were trying to be vegan. But the time came and they said, this is impossible. And so they went to the sea, they got their fishing rod, and they ate their fish. And they survived, and the Lord blessed their ministry there until the ship was fixed and came to give them some other food. So what is the principle, right? Preserve the best health and eat the food which is the most nourishing. Very balanced. Don't get into extremes. So don't be impressed, the Bible says, with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord, turn away from evil, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your or your bones. I didn't get that until I'm turning a little bit older and the bones start hurting later on in life. So today I want to present you to a man by the name of Jack LaLanne. How many of you have heard of Jack LaLanne before? His name that most people know him by is Mr. Fitness. And no, this is not me, by the way. This is a picture of him when he was younger. Now, I want you to notice that he wasn't only fit when he was younger, but here, in advanced age, doesn't he look pretty good? This man was someone who was a health innovator, someone who changed the fitness of this country. In fact, he started the first television program to exercise because before it was taught that it was wrong for women to exercise, and it was unladylike for women to exercise. But he started a TV program for housewives, teaching them how to exercise in their home. But Mr. Jack LaLanne wasn't only healthy when he was young, he was healthy and strong and vibrant in his older years. On his 70th birthday, he wanted to show that he still had it. And so he asked 70 of his friends to get on 70 boats, tied up together, and he swam for a mile and a half, pulling all 70 of them in their boats on his 70th birthday. What are you going to do on your 70th birthday, huh? Something similar. But listen, Jack LaLanne wasn't always healthy or Mr. Fitness as we know him. And the reason I'm sharing this story is because when it comes to the health message, I'm noticing that less and less Seventh-day Adventists are following this message. And that's sad because it's the message that has the most scientific backing. It's the message that's most helpful for us, but we're leaving it behind while the world is passing us up. When I went to California this last month, there's vegetarian, vegan restaurants all over the place. There's people exercising. There's people living good lives. And I come to our churches and I see that people are becoming less healthy. We have neglected our message and other people are now picking it up. I'm grateful that they are, but I wish that we don't fall behind. What is the biggest thing, the biggest obstacle to adopting this health message that's so beneficial? Well, I think it's the will. It's the will. Jack LaLanne, as a young man, was born in San Francisco in 1914 to French immigrants. They lived in Berkeley, where Mr. LaLanne described himself as a skinny, pimply kid addicted to sugar. His behavioral problems were extreme. He attacked his brother, attempted suicide, and tried to burn down his house. His overweight father died of a heart attack at age 50, and everyone said, Jack's going to end up the same, he's just going to die at a younger age. Jack LaLanne tells the Chronicle of San Francisco, I was a miserable kid, and in his life story, he would lock himself in his room for hours and days. He was depressed. His mother was so worried about him, she was scared about his health and his life and everything, and one day, his mother received an invitation to the local Oakland Women's City Club of a man, a Seventh-day Adventist health presenter by the name of Paul Bragg. And he was going to be talking about health subjects. And so this Seventh-day Adventist presenter sent out all these flyers, and the night came for him to speak. And Jack LaLanne's mom begged him, cried, please, please come, till finally she insisted so much that he ended up coming that night. But she had taken so long to convince him that the meeting was almost halfway through. And when they entered, the place was packed and there was no seating anywhere. And you could imagine this little kid and his health and his looks and his mental health, he felt like, I need to get out of here. But providentially, Paul Bragg, the Seventh-day Adventist health presenter, saw that young man enter the back room, stopped his meetings, and he said, young man, I have a seat for you right here behind me. And Jack LaLanne had to walk in front of everybody to the front, climb up top, sit behind him with his head down, trying not to be seen. But guess what he did do? His ears were open. And he heard a message. Paul Bragg's said this, my dear friends, it matters not what your physical condition is. If you obey nature's laws, you will be born again. This is what Jack LaLanne did to turn into Mr. Fitness. That night, he said, I went home and I, what? Prayed. Dear God, give me the willpower to refrain from those foods that are killing me. And that night was born Mr. Fitness. because of the presentation of the Seventh-day Adventist health message. And he went around the world to help people. So the last T of New Start is trust in God. And that's where people struggle the most when it comes to making great lifestyle changes. They have trouble trusting in God's message and God's power to help them to change. The Bible tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. I like to also kind of use another word for faith. For by grace you have been saved through trust in God, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. You have to trust that God can save you from your health problems. You can trust that God can help you with your health problems. But true trust takes action. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Now, do you really trust God if you're not willing to do something? James chapter 2, verse 20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So the power of the will is what is lacking in many people. And this is the promise that she received and wrote in the book Ministry of Health. God has given us the power of choice. That's why this message is called choice, right? Not chance. It says, God has given us the power of choice. It is ours to exercise. We cannot change our hearts. We cannot control our thoughts or our impulses or affections, but we can choose. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in life. By yielding up the will to Christ, we may ally ourselves with divine power. We receive strength from above to hold steadfast. A pure and noble life, a life of victory over appetite and lust, is possible to everyone who unites his weak, wavering human will to the omnipotent, unwavering power and will of God. God knows what's best. He created the laws of this universe. He knows the laws of physics. He knows the mathematical laws. He created them. He knows the laws of gravity, right? What goes up must come down. He knows the ecosystem laws. And he also knows the health laws. He created our body. He knows the consequences of breaking these health laws one way or the other. He knows that wrong choices will lead to that end, and he tries to protect us from suffering and leads us to right choices because God has always cared about the health of his people. Yes, he cares about your body, mind, and spirit. He cares all about you. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And our memory verse for today, our Bible verse says what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God will provide you the willpower and strength to have a great and better health life. Why not start today? And the reason this message is so important for me is not just because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist or because I am a nurse or because I am a pastor. God, in his own special way, brought this message to my family. My grandmother was a cook in Guatemala. And she had a restaurant where she sold all sorts of seafood and meats and all sorts of things. But as she started to study the Bible, she fell in love with Jesus. She discovered the truth of the Seventh-day Adventist Church's message. And then they also shared with her about the health message. Well, she didn't like that health message very much. And she wasn't about to change up her restaurant. She wasn't about to make such extreme changes. Would anybody ever come to a restaurant again? She thought not. But one day, she went to sleep, and that night, just like in the Bible, she received a vision of food and animals. And she saw a big pot that she would cook in her kitchen, and she saw all sorts of animals going in there, right? Crabs and all sorts of flesh animals and everything, and she was stirring the pot, and all of a sudden, just like in the Bible, a voice told her, eat, eat. And she looked down, and for some reason she said, no, these are unclean. And the voice said, eat, eat. She said, no, these are unclean. And the voice said, that's correct. They are not for food. And she woke up that day, and she changed her restaurant into one of the first vegetarian restaurants in all of Guatemala. She put my mother there as a waitress. And one day, my father was going to another vegetarian restaurant for breakfast, lunch, and dinner as a single pastor. And he got so sick and tired that he asked someone, is there any other vegetarian restaurant in this country? And they said, yes, there's one more. And he went over there. He walked in. And he said, this is like the Garden of Eden with three Eves. He saw three sisters. And he focused on my mother. And for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he ate his vegetarian food and courted her. And they were married together. Then they went to the United States, a passion for the health message. My mom went to study at Loma Linda, one of the health institutions that the fifth vision told our God told our people to establish. And my mother became a nurse, and my father got a master's in public health. And so I was raised in the beauty and appreciation of this message, and my desire that God's people would be healthy again. Healthy physically, healthy mentally, and healthy spiritually. Does anyone else have the passion for your health that God has for your health? When anybody else will say, I want to take up this message, I also want to live a lifestyle that attracts and that helps the world receive Jesus Christ. Anybody want to make some changes in their lives? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sustaining my voice and keeping that cough down. You know, I was praying for that. And thank you, Lord, for all those that were praying for me. Father, thank you for this health message. Help us to take it to heart. You gave it to us for a reason. And Father, it's been such a great benefit. But in these last days, Father, some people are neglecting, forgetting, or maybe are struggling with the willpower to follow this message. And I pray, Father, that you keep us faithful to do it, Lord, for our own health and benefit. And also, we want to pray for our spiritual health, our emotional health, and our mental health, Lord. Help us in all these areas so we could be a happy church, Lord, ready to receive you. I pray for all those that made decisions. Help them in their commitments. Give them your willpower to help them take that step. This I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We want to encourage you, if you want to read more about this subject, there's a book called Health Ministry by Ellen G. White. If we have some extra copies here, I'm going to give them away after church. But if not, you can find them at our local Adventist Book Center in Lansing. God bless you.